10 minutes past two. We are taking your calls this hour on your technical troubles, as our guest is Fevzi, the gadget detective. There isn't anything, I hope, that Fevzi doesn't know about the world of high-tech and gadgetry. Is that true, Fevzi?
Afternoon. Well, there's always holes, but I'm prepared to have those investigated, let's say.
I guess we're always learning in life. That's the way to put it.
If I don't know, though, I will find out.
I'm pleased to hear it. Well, look, let's just set the scene. So basically, you are into your tech and your gadgetry, and you're here to suggest some new inventions that we might be interested in finding out a little bit more about, and to answer questions as well. So we'll come on to the latest tech to talk about first of all in just a moment. And we can interact with you as well online, can't we?
Yep. You can come say hello at Twitter. It's at Gadget Detective. So if you've got a question you can fit into a Twitter tweet, then come and send it and I'll do my best for you there. There's also the website gadgetdetective.com.
Wonderful. Okay, Fevzi. Well, look, let's welcome on to BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey, Valerie in Littlehampton. Hi, Valerie.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Jolly good. Now, you've got a question for Fevzi, and this is one that I'm actually interested in as well, as it's to do with smart meters. Do you want to take up the story, Valerie?
Yes, I've had a letter from my energy supplier to say they'll fit one for free, but I don't know anything about them at all. How do they work and where is it situated?
Okay, that's a good question, Valerie. So the government's intention is that we should all have smart meters. Smart meters are meters that effectively can read themselves and send the reading through to your energy supplier. So
right.
It's obviously a cost saving for them. Whether they choose to pass that on to the customers, that's another question. They can be fitted. They're fitted in one of two places. They can be fitted in the street below the pavement, or sometimes in the home itself, depending upon how you're set up. What then happens is you get a little device that communicates with that meter wirelessly as well. So that meter will send its information to two places. One is to the energy supplier, so they can know how much you're using, but also to you on this little gadget that will then show you in units of energy or indeed in money how much you're using at any given time. And the idea behind it, the benefit to you would be, Valerie, if you can see what you're using when you switch on that tumble dryer or whatever it is, you are more inclined to control the use of that energy because you can see what it's costing you. You may decide to, for example, put it on when the electricity is cheaper, if it's cheaper at night or something like that. So the idea is that if we measure our usage, we will tend to reduce our usage because we're aware of it. Nothing is free, by the way, Valerie. The energy, they don't charge you for it, but you pay for it through increases in your bills, which is a really strange thing because effectively you're paying for it, but they own it, which is it's a good trick if you get my meaning. You do have the right to refuse a smart meter. They tend to suggest to you you can't refuse it. You can refuse a smart meter. The only problem, if you wish to refuse it for any reason, is that the energy company has the right to put you on a more expensive tariff. So you could end up paying more because you've refused the meter, but it is your right. Some people also, by the way, have concerns about their security and whether there are any health issues relating to them. The security is that some of these smart meters have their security has been questioned. It's been thought that others could hack into the meter and determine, for example, if you're at home or if you're on holiday or whatever, from the usage of your utilities. So there are things to consider. That being said, most people will accept them, I suggest. But just don't think it's free just because they're not billing you for it separately. It's included in your energy costs, and we are all paying for it. And it's hugely expensive, actually, this whole rollout program.
Does that help you, Valerie?
Yes. Do you need to have a mobile phone connection?
No, you don't, because the smart meter will signal a device that they will give you that you could, say, keep in your kitchen or your living room. That will signal wirelessly, not using the mobile phone network. So, no, you don't need that.
You don't need anything in your own home.
No. They give you what you will need. And, you know, it is quite interesting, you know, when you put on a kettle and you see what it costs you to boil a kettle. And, you know, it encourages you to do things like, for example, some people fill the kettle every time, even though
too
they...
much.
Well, yeah, if they just want a cup of tea and they'll fill the whole kettle and then they'll reboil. So they'll boil maybe 4 to 5 times as much water as they actually need. Once you start seeing what that costs you to do, it's the psychology is quite interesting. You do tend to cut back on your usage without necessarily, you know, it's not that we should sit and freeze in our homes. That's not the idea. But that we maybe don't waste the energy that we use.
So you'd recommend to go ahead with it?
I think it has that benefit. I would be happier if they were more secure. I would speak to my energy company and find out, you know, if I don't have it, what are they going to charge me? Because that can be the decider. Because if you refuse, your energy company may charge you more. They may put you on a more expensive tariff.
Oh, right.
So you just need to have a conversation with them about that.
Wonderful. Well, look, Valerie, thank you. It's a really good question, and I found that useful, and I think others would as well. And just before you go, who's your friend in the background barking away?
Oh, it's a little Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
Oh, name?
Anyway, thank you for the information.
Pleasure, Valerie. Bye-bye now.
You take care, Valerie, and thanks for listening, and good question. There you go. Actually, on that topic, just briefly, Fevzi, smart meters, there is a rollout programme for this. Are we going to get to the point in a few years' time where actually, realistically, just about all homes will be fitted with a smart meter?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of playing King Canute when we say we're not going to have one. And I'll be honest with you, I actually told the guy who came to fit mine to sling his hook because I wasn't really happy with what I was being offered. And I'm hoping in a year or two it will be, let's say, a better offering. There's a lot of glitches in the installation process. But yes, I think it's definitely the way things are going, that everything in our homes is monitored. And with that, there are benefits and there are disadvantages. I mean, you know, obviously it's a convenience not having to read our own meters or have to let people in and have the security risk of letting people in and hoping that they are who they say they are when they come to read our meters. So there are benefits, there are conveniences. But with technology, Mike, I think that there's always this balance. It's amazing. It doesn't matter what field we're looking at. There's this balance between convenience and privacy and security. So convenience on one hand and privacy and security on the other hand. And you're sort of balancing and juggling those two. The more convenient something is, the less private and secure it tends to be. So, for example, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to enter passwords for our anything that we do, our bank accounts or online shopping? Wouldn't it be great if we didn't need a PIN? Well, that would be very convenient but very insecure. So that would be one extreme. But on the other hand, the more secure things get, the less convenient they get, and also the more expensive. So I think it's the way things are going. I think it's, you know, water, electricity, gas will all be metered like this in the future. By the way, there is another thing. And they don't tell you this.
Okay.
It's not just the ability to read remotely your readings, but they could, for example, if there was a shortage of electricity, they could switch off your supply remotely for periods of time.
Good grief.
They actually take control of your supply in a way that they can't at the moment. So, you know, it's like a lot of these things. There are not necessarily unintended consequences, but consequences that aren't highlighted to us in the multi-million pound advertising campaign.
It's the pros and the cons, and it's that trade-off in terms of convenience and actually potentially sharing information that you might not necessarily want to share in your comfort zone.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example. This is in the United States. There was a murder not so long ago of a man who was in a hot tub in his backyard. And two interesting things that happened. The main witnesses to the murder were the Amazon Echo box that was switched on and connected to Amazon, which is a device that you can speak to and sends your voice recordings back to Amazon for interpretation and reply, and the smart water meter. And what the police did was that they subpoenaed Amazon to provide recordings that the box will have recorded in the locale at or around the time of the murder. And they worked out that whoever did the murder had also used many hundreds of gallons of water, presumably to wash away the blood. Now, I know that's a bit gory, but it's interesting, isn't it, that the two witnesses are this echo box. This, you know, an Amazon echo box is where, you know, you speak to it, it speaks back to you, and it has some degree of artificial intelligence, and it plays music. And that's why I think it was there, because if you're in a hot tub and you can't touch buttons because your hands are wet, you can say, you know, Amazon Echo, play me this music, and it will. So the two witnesses were the smart meter and the Amazon Echo box.
Goodness, fascinating, but totally gory with it. Well, look, Fevzi, you are the gadget detective. You're taking our calls, 03459 570057. If, like Valerie in Littlehampton, you've got a technical query you'd like answered, well, Fevzi is your man, 03459 570057. And we've got some gadgets to review as well. And you're happy to offer all sorts of free advice about technical matters.
Indeed.
Good stuff. Well, look, you're clearly very popular because Michael in Seaford's given us a call, again with a question that I would be very interested to know the answer. Hi there, Michael.
Hello, Mike.
Right, well, thanks for joining us. What's your question?
Basically, there's an energy supplier called First Utility Warehouse who want to bring everything into one discount arrangement. That includes gas, electricity, internet, broadband and mobile phones. And part of the deal, to get the maximum discount, you have to agree to having all your light bulbs in your house changed over to LED. Now, all the light bulbs in my house are energy saving, so I'm just wondering, you know, what takes up more electricity, LED or energy saving? And plus, is this a rather kind of unique package that...
Okay.
Yeah,
just for you to answer that, Fevzi, obviously just worth saying that there are obviously many different energy providers, all sorts of packages out there. Just obviously, Michael was considering this particular one. So LED bulbs or energy saving?
Right, OK, so LED bulbs are a type of energy saving. What most people have now in their homes is some combination of traditional, the first generation of energy saving and some LEDs. The LEDs tend to be the most efficient. The first energy saving bulbs that came out were known as compact fluorescent bulbs, and they're essentially fluorescent tubes, but in a sort of swirl shape designed to take up less space. So you might have seen these things. They look like a spiral shape quite often. They are effectively, if you were to sort of unspiral it and make it long, it would just be like a small fluorescent tube, and fluorescent bulbs use less energy than conventional bulbs. However, the LEDs are more efficient than those types of energy saving ones. So they're both energy saving, but the LEDs are the most modern, and they tend to be by far the most energy efficient. So you'll have a good saving even when you install LEDs, even over and above the compact fluorescents. The other reason why I don't like the old compact fluorescents as much, well, two reasons really. One, they don't last as long. The LEDs tend to last longer than the compact fluorescents, so that's quite useful, both in terms of the cost of, you know, replacing the bulbs, but also the convenience. You know, some bulbs are not very easy to get to, and you know, you can actually save a number of accidents by not having to replace them as often. The other thing is, people don't realize that the insides of fluorescent tubes and compact fluorescent bulbs are nasty. They contain mercury dust, and if you ever have one break in your hand or break for any other reason, you've got quite a problem there in terms of the poisonous substances inside it, which is why you should never just dump one of these bulbs, a dead bulb, you know, in the rubbish without any sort of box or padding around it, because when they break, they're a health hazard, and if they break in your home, it is a problem. So that's if for no other reason, I would get rid of those compact fluorescents and replace them where possible with LEDs. The only thing that you need to be aware of is that if you've got any circuits in your home that have dimmable lights on them, you know, you have a dimmer on the wall, you have to make sure that you buy the right sort of bulbs and lighting for that, and you may need to do some rewiring, because the modern bulbs are dimmable may not be compatible with your old dimmer. So that's the only real issue for sort of circuits that already have dimmers on them. But for normal lighting, you know, I've replaced just about all my lights now with LED, and I've seen the drop in the energy price as well. It's been great.
Oh, that's good to hear. Michael, does that help you at all?
Yes, but the interesting thing is, once you agree to having all your bulbs changed to LEDs, you get locked into a 4-year contract. I wonder, you know, when that includes absolutely everything, like the mobile phone, the broadband, the gas, electricity. I don't know how unique that is.
So just on that point, Michael, I don't want to go down the specifics of your particular contract with the energy provider, if that's okay.
Yeah. But can I make a few comments just in general terms about long contracts and these sort of multi-headed offerings? Because I think there is something that to say, and this is no reflection on any particular energy provider at all, but the general advice is, you need to be aware with long contract terms of what are the terms within it in terms of pricing. For example, a price may be very attractive at the outset, but is there any commitment to either fix the price or be below the average, industry average, or anything like that? Because if there isn't, a deal that may be attractive at the outset may be less so. And particularly with things like mobile phone bills being included as part of that sort of multi-head offering, mobile phone costs continue to drop. You know, the costs of minutes and data that we pay drop. So for those, you know, I personally wouldn't be entering into a four-year contract or an extended contract, because they'll almost invariably drop over the coming period.
Whereas the energy prices are bound to go the other way.
Yes, but it depends what a contract then says. I mean, I don't suppose a company's going to lock its price for 4 years. So what are their rights to vary the price? That would be what you need to look at.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Well, look, Michael, thank you ever so much.
Thank you, Mike.
It really is a help. And do keep on listening. Fevzi, you're proving very popular. I was going to play a song, but rather than do that, let's catch up with Barbara in Eastbourne. Hi, Barbara.
Hello there.
What part of lovely Eastbourne are you in?
Near King's Drive.
I know it well. Right, okay. You got a question for Fevzi about contactless payment cards.
Yes, indeed. My debit card, I recently had a new one issued, and I was told it was contactless.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not happy about contactless. I can't see the point. What I really, I suppose, want to know is, well, two things. Do I have to accept one that's contactless?
I mean, that's a good question. It's some card providers will provide you with a non-contactless card.
With Barclays.
Yeah, you would have to speak to them directly about that, because it will depend on a number of factors. But some will offer you a non-contactless card if you wish it. You're right to have a concern, because the way that contactless cards work is, again, it's this thing about convenience versus security and privacy. They are very convenient, because you don't have to remember a PIN, and if it's a transaction below a certain amount, you just tap the terminal and you pay, and that's all, you know, nice and convenient. But if someone gets your card, they could be spending on it for, you know, some while before you realise the card's missing and the card gets blocked, or there's a pattern of spending that causes the card to be blocked. So you need to speak to them and ask them if they can provide you with that. The other thing that you should speak to them about is, well, what is their fraud guarantee if the card is taken without your consent?
That was my next question.
Yeah. Well, you need to be careful, because some of them will say you're responsible for transactions up until the point where you report the card missing. Now, that's pretty terrible, because if it's not a card you use regularly, it could be gone for days or weeks before you notice it's missing. Other banks and card issuers will say, no, as long as you haven't, been negligent with your card, that they will cover you in terms of their fraud guarantee against any transactions. Also, you need to ask them, and again, this varies from card provider to card provider, you need to ask them what are the limitations on the legitimate use of that card. Is it so much per transaction, say £25 per transaction, but you can do as many of those as you like in a day, or is it so much per day? You know, because you need to be able to see what the limits on this are.
So if I sort of bought something really expensive, not that I often do, but if I bought something really expensive, they might either block it or query it.
It would generally, anything, it depends on the, again, provider, but say anything over £25, £30 normally can't be paid for with contactless, because it's designed for numerous small purchases, you know, it's meant to be the convenience for that. So you can use it for, you know, certain types of travel. You can use it in coffee shops or sweet shops or, you know, tobacco.
Yes, but not if you bought sort of white goods or...
No, that's not what it's designed for. And again, check it with your provider, but no, generally it's limited.
how then are you supposed to pay for, say you bought a huge television?
Well, then you can use it in a conventional way. You can still use, all contactless cards can still be used as normal cards.
Oh, I see. I would use my PIN number.
Yeah, exactly. So you just use chip and PIN in the normal way, and it will work always as a normal card. The contactless is just an add-on. One tip I would give you, if you decide to keep one or more contactless cards, get a little card holder to hold them in, which has got what they call RF shielding on it. I know that sounds a bit technical, but basically something with some metal in it that's designed to stop that card accidentally paying for things. You know what I mean? And when you go to pay, if you have more than one card in your purse or, you know, card holder, don't just slap them all down together, because it has happened where more than one card has paid at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, because it can't know. It's just literally the physical proximity of the card to the reader.
Yes.
So there's two things with that. One, you don't want to pay twice by accident by having them together. And two, you don't want some clever individual with a scanner scanning your card details from 1 or 2 feet away, because that can also be done.
Yes, I do only have the debit card. I don't even have a credit card, so that's not really a problem. But, I mean, I might be quite elderly, but I really don't have any trouble memorising a four-figure number.
Yeah. Well, if you've got just the one card, I think it's often useful for people who've got a multitude of cards and we're told to have different PIN numbers for each of them, then it becomes problematic. And, of course, if you write it down, never, ever write down a PIN number.
Because
that's, by the way, that's one of the classic ways in which banks dodge fraud claims, is that if someone has taken the card and used the PIN, they will assume that you wrote the PIN down somewhere and maybe put it in your bag with the card or something. Now, people should never do that, one, because it's dangerous, and two, because if somehow someone does manage to observe your PIN through no fault of your own, the card may take the card company may take the view that you've been negligent.
Okay, Fevzy, some very sound advice there. Barbara, I hope that's answered your question.
Yes, indeed. That's been very helpful. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. And I learned something there as well. I didn't realise that actually if you present your wallet, which might contain a couple or more cards with chip and PIN, it might actually take the payment more than once. So I've learned something. Barbara, thank you for your call. Fevzy, look at the time. My goodness me.
I know.
It's your fault for being so clever and so friendly, wanting to help so many people there on the phones. Just remind us of how we can get in contact with you.
Come and say hello at Twitter @GadgetDetective.
That is wonderful. Fevzy, thank you ever so much.